Good morning and welcome to our services. It's refreshing, isn't it, to have this cool weather upon us. Maybe you were like I. About 2:30 this morning I woke up and it was cold in our house. And you know what I did to the thermostat, right? But we'll warm up if we're cold today. Before the service is over, I hope that I can do that for you spiritually. I'm going to give you an account of an episode. You may believe it or not. This past week, we repossessed some property we owned in Ocoee. It has some fruit trees on it. And I decided to venture into it because it had not been taken care of for 3 years. In entering the little grove, I saw off to my left in the corner a green tree, Charlie. It looked very vibrant, and I thought, well, surely it'll have some fruit on it, being as green as it appeared and as healthy as it appeared in contrast to the rest of them. And so as I advanced to the tree, I said, "Good afternoon, Mr. Tree. How are you doing today?" And lo and behold, the tree responded. He said, "I'm doing just great. Isn't this a lovely day?" And I replied, "Yes, but for one thing. Where's your fruit? Your foliage is green, your trunk is unscarred and sturdy, and your root system is deep and well established, but where is your fruit, Mr. Tree?" He paused for a moment, and then he answered, "But you will notice that I am more firmly established than any of the other trees in your grove. And I have the most beautiful leaves to be seen anywhere. I have no broken and dead branches and no scuff marks by the children climbing on my branches. And you haven't used your pruning shears yet on me as you have the others." And I replied, "Yes, you are to be commended for being well preserved, but you must be reminded that you were planted to bring forth fruit. Where is your fruit, Mr. Tree?" And he replied, "At first I produced fruit, but the experience was awful. Some of the fruit I bore fell to the ground and rotted, and the odor was terrible. The fruit was so heavy my branches were broken, and furthermore the fruit pickers nicked and wounded my tender limbs as they climbed all over me to pick my fruit. And then to make matters worse, I just did not get any recognition for my efforts from the rest of the trees in this grove and from you. And so after that experience, I decided to leave the fruit bearing to other trees in the grove. And I said to him, 'I expect as a log you'll shine bright in my fireplace tonight.'" Now you can believe that if you wish, or disbelieve it. But as I engaged in that conversation, I was reminded of a story that Jesus told in John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. He said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. I'd like to zero in on the closing statement of that parable that Jesus just told, and I'll reread it. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. The Plymouth Church will be known by God through its fruit bearing. We disciples will determine the status of this family, this church that meets in this place. And I want to encourage you to listen attentively to some of the observations that we will make about fruit bearing. In the first place, let it be observed that the disciples of Christ, you and I, are fruit bearers, as expected. Disciples are expected to bear fruit. Again, Jesus said, by this my Father will be glorified, that you bear much fruit. Bearing fruit, then, is a mark of the disciple. God is glorified when we bear fruit. Christ is expecting, then, an abundant harvest. He's looking forward to it. He anticipates it. He wants it. He desires it. And he shall receive it. Bearing fruit, then, proves that the disciple lives in Christ and Christ lives in him. Disciples of Christ are expected to bear fruit. That's not debatable. That's not an option. It's a requirement. It's a mark of stewardship, fruit bearing. You and I must realize that. We must understand that. We must appreciate that. And we must accept it and proceed in fruit bearing. Secondly, observe with me that fruit bearing is different for each individual disciple. Oh, I know we're to be about the Master's work and be servants, and each has his talent. And so fruit bearing is different. Charlie Grinnell's fruit bearing is different from Keith Wilson's fruit bearing. Fruit bearing as it relates to performance is measured by our talents according to what Jesus teaches us. But then the Apostle Paul has a little different twist to it. In Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 3. He said, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Oh. So there's a difference, isn't there? Different functions. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And then he becomes specific. He says, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so the functions are here somewhat illustrated in specifics. Fruit bearing, then, is for each individual disciple. It's not a matter of who we are, necessarily, as what we do. What we do is the key. According to Jesus, then, fruit bearing is like abiding in Jesus, keeping His commandments and loving one another. It reflects what is in our hearts and is an indicator that something is happening on the inside of us. It's what we show outwardly, we believe inwardly. Fruit bearing is not necessarily reaching out and subscribing to the discipleship of another, or reaching out and converting another to what you believe and to what the Master teaches. But fruit bearing is functioning, working, doing. It's about activity. It's about the use of our gifts, of our talents, of our aims, of our purposes. Carolyn and I learned one function and talent of Keith Wilson this past Thursday evening. He chauffeured us to Lakeland. And on the way back, it rained on us consistently. And I sat snug as a bug in a rug in the passenger side of the front seat. He was under the wheel, and I had no worries. I had no worries because, for one thing, he wasn't driving like Jehu. He was driving, modifying his speed. Keith, I'm going to use you again someday. Fruit bearing is different for the individual. You need to know what your function is, what your gift is. The Apostle Paul urged Timothy to make use of his gift before he lost it. You remember in the parable of the talents, the one man who had the one talent was fearful of losing it, so he went and hid it in the ground, not knowing that that very action itself was the cause of losing it, because he never got it back. The Lord took it away from him and gave it to others who were using their talents. The third observation that I would make with you this morning is that as disciples or branches, we can only receive spiritual life from Christ. Here we are struggling, trying to do something for the Lord, trying to be a good steward, trying to be an effective servant. But we're having difficulty. Why? Because we're not connected with the Lord. We're not in harmony with His teaching. We're not receiving nourishment from Him because we've been disobedient. We've chosen not to do His will. You see, we must abide in Christ, because that only will bring forth fruit. Jesus said in our story a while ago in John 15, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." The spiritual nourishment which Christ provides is absolutely essential to fruit bearing for the disciple. Without that nourishment, without that word, without that energy, without that spiritual uplift, that shot in the arm, so to speak, we will not be able to produce fruit. You see, we come to realize that we are totally dependent upon Christ as one of His disciples. He Himself said, without me you can do nothing. And here we are struggling at times, trying to do things without Him. We know better than that. Let's stop that foolishness. And let's draw strength from the Lord. Let's trust in Him to give the increase. As Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The Apostle Paul had turned his life over to Christ and had ceased living an independent life of his own. And so he was able to write in Galatians 2 and 20, as we read a moment ago. His whole life had been transformed since he consigned his life to God. And when we are willing to give our lives to God and to Christ Jesus, then and only then can we expect to be fruit-bearing and good stewards. Yes, disciples as branches can only receive spiritual life from Christ. We cut off the supply, we shrivel up and die. We have no hope. We have no energy. We are vexed. We're lost. And we're in despair. May I suggest to you in the fourth observation this morning that the fruit of the disciple is not to be affected by environment or circumstances. I believe that the true test of a spiritual life of fruit bearing is the character it displays on a day-to-day basis. How are you daily? How are you consistently serving the Lord? When conditions are right and life is good, bearing the fruit of the Spirit is a cinch, isn't it? But what happens when trouble comes? What happens when the storm arises? What happens when the rain beats upon our heads? What happens when persecution comes knocking on our door? What happens when conflict occurs between brethren and between disciples and between family members? You know, it's easy to be patient with each other when there is no difference of opinion. But let there be differences of opinion and we can't handle that. And we fly off the handle, so to speak, and we lose contact with peacefulness. And fruit bearing goes out of the way. You know, it's easy to be content when all the bills are paid and there's plenty of money left in the bank. You know, it's easy to be loving and kind in the absence of conflict and criticism. We need to be consistent in our fruit bearing. In spite of the troublesomeness of life, in spite of the ups and downs and the rough places, we need to be learning consistency. You see, the genuineness of our fruit bearing is often determined by the circumstances of life which test us. How true that is. James writes in James 1 and verse 12, blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Yes. How do we do when trouble comes? How do we react when life throws a hardball at us, or a curve, or a knuckleball, or a slider, or one of those 98-mile-an-hour fastballs. Do we strike out or do we get a hit? Blessed is a man who endures when he is tempted. Blessed is the man, blessed is the disciple who produces, who continues to fruit bear even when it's not pleasant to do so, even when the circumstances are not right, even when things seem to be going off in all directions. Purity of life is essential to righteous fruit bearing. James goes on to talk about this in the third chapter of his epistle, verses 17 and 18, and he said, "But that wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." There's some power in those statements in James 3, 17 and 18. How important it is that we seek purity of life, that we seek peace, that we be gentle, that we be willing to yield to the other, that we be full of mercy so we can produce good fruits, so that we'll be without partiality and without hypocrisy and be known as a person of integrity, of honesty, of righteousness. Then we will be able to bear fruit consistently and constantly for the Master. Let me conclude by making our fifth observation. And that is, bearing fruit for Christ is more than mere performance. It seems that along the way we have been misled into believing that worship is a performance, that serving the Lord is something we perform. Generally accepted ideas as to what fruit bearing is, it fits into that category, is church attendance. Now don't get up and leave. Giving of our means. Now don't stop giving. Participating in church activities. Converting another soul. All of those certainly are related and certainly have something to do with fruit bearing. But Jesus says, in effect, fruit bearing is abiding in Him, keeping His commandments, and loving one another. From the story and parable of the branches, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I want to go back to that story for just a moment. And I want us to look at the paragraph that follows, which we didn't read, and tie it in with verse 8, where I will begin reading now. Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." He doesn't stop there discussing fruit bearing. He continues on in verse 9. Listen to what he says. "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." You see, fruit bearing reflects what is in our hearts. It can be summarized somewhat from the passage in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. where the apostle wrote and said to the churches of Galatia, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control," to mention just a fruit, a few. Fruit-bearing is loving. It's being joyful. It's being peaceable. It's being long-suffering, kind, good, faithful, gentle, self-control. Yes, attending worship services enhances fruit-bearing. Yes, giving of our means obligates us in fruit-bearing, provides us an incentive to move on into more fruitful arenas, such as we read from Galatians 5:22 and 23 a while ago. Yes, keeping His commandments. Yes, participating in church activities, as some of you did Tuesday night and Thursday night of this past week. What a week, wasn't it? Yes, converting another soul is an act of fruit bearing. What about your life this morning? Are you fruit bearing? Or are you barren? Are you bearing or are you barren? Are you growing or are you dying? Are you a blessing or a hindrance? Suppose you engaged in the conversation as Mr. Tree and I did yesterday. You believe that story, of course. You must. It came from a minister. We all must answer individually, for fruit bearing is personal, individual. You can't bear fruit unless you're associated with the Christ who gives vitality, energized spiritual need fulfilled. To do that, we must believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God, willing to genuinely look at ourselves and repent of our sins. If we haven't been baptized for the remission of those sins, we need to be. That's part of obeying His commands. Perhaps you're in the audience, not associated in any active way with any congregation. You need to be. You'll become a fruit bearer if you do. You won't be bearing much fruit without it. And so you have those opportunities and those invitations. If we can help you and serve you in any way, may God give you the nudge. May you possess the urge to make that known. Even so, right now, as we stand and as we sing.